put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Welcome to Hex Rated, where we four witches will take you on a magical journey through foul language and outrageous feminism. Plus the little witchy shit.
You know I can't stand it. You're running around. Up to record. Here we go. I think this is happening. Sorry that took a long time.
It's all right. I am also recording. No, it's fine. I'm actually, like I was telling Brandon, I will have to stop in 25 minutes or when the radar sound goes off because I am in the process of sourdoughing.
I want to talk to you about that, like, in a witchy context, but I don't know if we should do that right now, because we need a different topic.
That could probably be a whole episode in itself.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm not, like, stopping the podcasting. I'll just have to pause, go turn it, and come back. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you are aware.
Well, you're out.
I just got back in.
Aww.
So sad. Oh my gosh, holy shit, Hex Rated.
If you could not tell, that is the lovely voice of Blackbird. After a hiatus, she is back.
That is me. And I'm back.
You also uploaded a bunch of meditations. You uploaded them yesterday as of this recording, but not as of when this will be posted and people will be listening to it. But tell us about the meditations.
Well, I have been thinking about this for a long time, that I wanted to do a series of meditations, and I think I've still got, you know, more in the trunk bag, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, so I kind of do my own, you know, journey with Hecate all the time. So I was like, well, why don't I combine these journeys into like an actual, I don't know, one thing that transitions into another thing and make it like a series and actually record it and put it out there to the world. Because if I like it, maybe somebody else will too. So I don't know. They're all very, I was really tired when I got done recording them because they are all pretty kind of heavy. I mean, they're short, but they're very, like you're going places, if you know what I mean. It's not a stagnant journey. You're kind of like doing a lot of walking and finding and talking and wow, this sounds terrible, but try it. I think you'll like it. It's very, I don't know, very like liminal kind of chthonic like Hecate vibe. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Well, yay. I haven't listened to it yet, so I need to do that.
No, I can't wait for your feedback, and I think it'll, I don't know, I hope you dig it.
So what are we talking about?
What's been going on with you guys and gals? What's new in your world, everybody? Tell your story.
It's just us now. Okay, my story. I'm back, first of all.
Yay.
Two times in a row, so you're welcome, listeners.
You bet.
My voice is blessing your eardrums.
For sure.
Alright. Yeah. So, new with me, I've started making jewelry. It's been a fun little meditative experience for me. Especially weaving. So, specifically bead weaving on looms. So, it's been a really fun project. It's super meditative, super repetitive, so it kind of helps you just, like, zone out and get in the mode. I really enjoy it.
And you get a beautiful thing at the end of your journey.
Yeah. Best part is you get something cool to wear, right. And then nobody else has it, and you're like, yeah, I made it, and you can never do this.
You will never get the same thing. That's right.
Unless you just follow the pattern.
Or, like, get some of my beads for me.
Right. Unless you just do it yourself.
Right. And then, in which you can do it.
Right.
It's okay. not everybody is gonna have the same vibe though. So I think they're beautiful, yeah. And I'm excited that it's like a meditation thing for you. I think that's cool. And also I like frogs, so
who doesn't?
You would think that as a non sequitur, but he is making a necklace with the little ceramic frog. Are they ceramic? They are, or glass.
I think there's some type of stone or something that's supposed to look like a stone, so mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure.
No, but they're little frogs, and it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I see your face now, Miss Scarlet.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, this is X-Rated. I'm Scarlet.
I'm Blackbird.
I'm Brandon.
I think we're talking about garden times.
Spring.
Yes.
Zombie
you,
Jesus.
You were the ones... Yes.
Zombie Jesus.
The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Which is the most holy day of the year that I did not realize. I thought Christmas would be holier. I guess, you know.
According to whom?
The guy on NPR today? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So just...
Noted theologian. Yes. Random NPR guy.
It was just a strange, like, I thought it was a strange, well, it was the BBC, so, you know, they were like, the most holy day of the year. I'm like, is it? Okay. Oh, I didn't know. All right.
I mean, I was born, too.
Were you?
Maybe not reborn yet, but I nice. Was born to Jesus.
Oh, well, that's Christmas. You haven't been resurrected yet.
I was like, wait, is your birthday tomorrow?
No.
I'm so confused. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's anyway. Other holy days, like my birthday.
Well, in contrast, my birthday has been on Easter, or Easter has been on my birthday, like, at least 2 times.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that? Not at all significant, or?
No. It's kind of annoying.
I don't know. You could go have a fancy brunch, though. I mean, you can kind of do that anytime.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I can.
Never.
But relevant to gardening, my birthday, April 7th, is right smack dab in springtime. And something I was going to bring up is, because I'm not a super avid gardener, but one thing I've noticed is the leaves on my mulberries and then the shoots on the pecan tree usually start to come in, and like the leaves are back on the trees by my birthday, so it's like happening. So I kind of, that's like a seasonal cycle that I am particularly aware of because it coincides with my birthday.
Does it like make you feel any particular way when you see that, or like, you know, is it like poignant for you or happy? Or
yeah, I feel like, you know, it's because after a few months of the trees being bare, I'm like kind of ready. Because it's one thing if it's like foggy or overcast and the trees are bare and it's all like autumnal. But when it's like sunny and 70, you're kind of like ready for it to be spring. So, yeah, I think I do always see that kind of as a sign of like, the same anticipation that you have, like, when your birthday is coming up. Like, the anticipation of, like, it's about to be pretty.
Yeah, I, it's interesting that you say that. I just, like, I don't, it's so weird because it's, like, green. Everything's kind of green all the time here. So, I kind
oh, yeah,
of,
good point.
I really do miss a little bit of seasons. The one thing that we do have is rain here, and it, you know, it'll be pretty rainy for a couple of weeks or so, and then it's kind of over. But this year it rained inside my house, so that was I don't know what the right word to describe that was. And no, we didn't have like just a leak. It was kind of a weird thing where the water, when the roof filled up, because the roof is flat, so when the roof filled up, there was a crack in the stucco behind the gutter. And then water was coming into the house, like, in through the windowsill, like, before the...
It was like, you showed me a video. It was, like, yeah. Pouring in.
It was really insane. Yeah, and it only would do it, like, when it, like, downpoured. So, not all the time, but, of course, every single downpour we had was in the middle of the fucking night. So, we would have to do this whole, like, situation where we're trying to direct the water with a garbage bag into a bucket and then like change the bucket out because the bucket would fill in like 30 seconds. But anyway, long story short, they fixed it. It was great. And of course, the rain immediately was over as soon as they fixed it. So yay. But also, it was kind of a like couple of weeks of like not sleeping really well. So I really enjoy the rain, but this year it was very stressful. So that was my one thing. Like, just like when the rains come, I know that like the cold is going to be, I mean, cold. It's like, whatever, 50 here. People put mittens on their kids. It's really insane. But dude, I saw somebody putting like gloves on their child when it was 62 degrees outside. Like, this is bananas. But now I am just as much of a weird little baby and like, oh, it's 81. It's so hot today. Yeah, it's gross. Don't even, I know, don't talk to me. But when the rain's over, I know that I'm good to like plant whatever. But honestly, I've had tomatoes for a whole year straight. Like, just,
yeah,
it's been great.
You posted on the Insta and I was like, is it tomato season? Like, I honestly don't know. But that was something I was going to ask you. So, because we're not super like agricultural witches, like our Sabbats are not really tied to the traditional Northern European harvest cycle. Like, we're not farmers and stuff. So those normal like markers of, you know, planting season and harvest season and like hard frost, like all that is not super relevant to us anyway. But for you now moving to a climate where it's pretty much the same climate year round, right? Like, how was that an adjustment for you? Was it weird? Did it make you feel weird? Like, is it like, just give me some info about how changing climate has affected your consciousness.
Okay. So that's good. So I would say.
You're welcome.
No, good job. Good question. No, like the first year we got here, I was just, you know, I loved every single second because, you know, we had maybe. That first year we had maybe like, I don't know, 7 hot days, and we lived a little closer to the bay. So I think it was a little breezier down there that first year. So the first year I was just like, this is heaven. I will never get sick of this. I don't miss seasons at all. Fuck the extreme heat and cold. Like, I'm down, right? Everything was great. I tried to grow a bunch of stuff in our little apartment, but it was like a really poor exposure. There was really no sunlight that ever hit it except for just a sliver of morning light. So I wasn't very successful. Plus there was some kind of aphid that was just like destroying everything. And I was freaking out about my job because I was new. So I really didn't have time to devote, but I really, really, really missed it. Cause you remember, when I was in, you know, by you, I had quite a lot of garden going on. So, yeah, I don't know. But then, like, after the second year, we moved into this little house. And then, you know, just, like, then the next year being trapped in the house, like, the whole time has been, it's kind of opened up my gardening practice a little differently. The first year, I didn't really have a whole lot going except for plants. But then once the pandemic hit, I was like, well, this is dumb. Let's see how much, you know, let's see if I can grow anything to eat. Not that we're going to, you know, have a tomato shortage or something, but I thought, you know, the least I can do is like see if I could possibly be successful at growing my own food, you know, try one thing, get good at it, and maybe try something else. So I did start like a couple of tomato plants, a couple of pepper plants, and I have grown those things like all throughout my life, but it's a lot different here because you don't have to be like you're doing things irrespective of the season. Like, it has no bearing on what you're planting, what you're doing now. Some people that have lived here for a long, long time might say something different, and things don't, I would say, like, produce as well in certain parts of the year. So like kind of December through, March, December through March, you might not get a whole lot of limes on your lime tree. I mean, again, it just seems like such a small sacrifice for just a few short months of not being able to grow something or things kind of lying dormant, that really my cherry tomato plant has just been like doing tomatoes ever since last June. So it's really weird. I feel extremely like lucky and grateful that I can grow things year-round. I have a zucchini plant that hasn't stopped producing either. Now, they've gotten a little smaller, but the plant is also just, like, rangy and weird. And really trying to, like, read a little, but really try to be... I'm trying to be very intuitive about what my plants need. And that's a whole other topic. But, yeah, California, it's just... I mean, there's no wonder why a lot of people want to be here. It's just so... wouldn't say so easy, but it's just so forgiving because of the climate. And, you know, what you were saying about hard frosts, et cetera, you have to also take into consideration, like, the whole world is changing as far as when your planting season is or isn't just because of climate change. So, you know, things that used to do well in Texas in, you know, March or April might do better a little earlier, or depending on, you know, how hard of a winter you've had. Like, it just ranges from year to year.
Yeah, I like that you've been forced to be intuitive just because there's no obvious planting season. But I think that that's good advice, even if you have, like, planting zone rules about when things usually go in the ground and when you're expecting them to flower or whatever. Because then you're actually paying attention to the plant instead of a calendar.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there were, I think, so the a couple of interesting things that have happened in my, like, vegetable garden journey this time around is just I had one tomato plant that never, like, it grew huge and it never gave me one tomato. So I don't know if, like, nobody wanted to pollinate that little guy or if it didn't have the right, I tried to, like, I don't know. I read that you could shake it, that sometimes I guess the pollen would fall and attract. I have no idea what I'm fucking talking about right now, but I read a thing that said shake your tomato plant, so I did. Nothing.
Shake it.
And it has, like, tons of little flowers on it. Like, it looks like it's going to give you all the tomatoes you've ever dreamed of having, and yet nothing. So I finally just ripped it out lovingly. lovingly thanking it for its non-service, but, like, this other plant that I planted, like, I think in probably May or June of last year, didn't do shit until, like, last month, and now it's like 8 million tomatoes. What is funny about my tomatoes?
just the way you're wording.
It's just my wild, like, just to get.
I ripped this one up, and this one wasn't doing shit either. And then all
you
of a
fuck these fucking tomatoes, fucking freeloaders.
Not
you tell?
Putting it work.
I was gonna say my gardening practice is extremely, like, I don't know. Sometimes it's violent, but also it's mostly just, you know, full of gratitude. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like, it's just more than anything, I'm just surprised, and which is dumb because I've grown things my whole life. It's not like it's some brand new thing, but I think the older I get, the more my brain is like a fucking goldfish. Just like, I forgot how amazing this is. I don't know. Maybe I have, like, early onset dementia or something because just, like, everything's brand new. So, I don't know, but I guess I'm grateful for that, for sure. I don't know. Do you guys have anything that you always make sure... I was thinking, do you always have a plant that you always make sure to have? Like, and, you know, like, I'm not saying, like, if it dies, maybe you'll get a new one, but, like, is there a plant that's, like, your go-to plant that you always have to have around you? Is that a weird question?
No, I always like to have orchids.
You do wonderfully with orchids. Oh my god, your orchids
are
beautiful. Well,
thank you. I try. Some of mine periodically die and have to get replaced because I tend to get the orphan ones from Trader Joe's that are real cheap.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes they're sick. And so I've been researching ways to kind of rehab them in terms of, like, repotting them because sometimes they'll just be soaked.
Yeah.
And they'll just be sitting in, like, really wet medium rotting. You know, there's different techniques of trimming their roots back to give some fresh growth and things like that. So, but I think, because I tend to not do food bearing plants because I get very preoccupied with the result. And then if there are not any fruits, then I'm disappointed. And or like if they're not very big, I don't know. Like I tend to not do well with that. But I always like to have orchids inside because I think they're cool and they're very symbolic and exotic.
I love orchids and I kill them because I think I want to water them all the time, which is not a thing that they like at all. But does your kitty cat know to stay away, or are they not dangerous? I've always heard they're dangerous for cats, but
he doesn't seem to be. There are not in a place where he can really get, and he doesn't seem to. But I don't know if orchids are harmful. I know lilies are, and I know poinsettias and stuff are. I should probably research that, but orchids would be one of my go-tos. I like to have lavender, but again, I also tend to get the orphan ones from Trader Joe's that are sick. So what I need to do is get a big patch and plant it in the ground instead of in a pot. Because they need good drainage in like sandy soil, and then they just kind of are off to the races on their own. But I love lavender. I mean, I put lavender in literally everything. So that's a good one. And then my new one is, or not new, but for the past couple of years, I've been growing Datura, which I think is probably the easiest of the baneful nightshades to grow. I haven't had success with Mandrake. I did have a henbane, but it didn't really propagate itself. So when its life cycle kind of ran out, it was gone forever. But Datura are, they grow as an annual here, but they have the beautiful spiky fruits, and I just let it seed naturally into the same pot, and then they'll come up the next year. So they're really easy. They're basically considered an invasive weed in certain places, so there's no planting season. I find that just letting the seeds fall from the plant into the same pot or into the same bedding area, if they're segregated from other things, because you definitely don't want them growing next to food things, and you want them in some kind of barrier because, like I said, they can be invasive. But the seeds that are out in the elements, like getting rain and snow or ice and hot and cold and whatever, seem, and that are in the soil, tend to do better than the seeds that I have saved after the seed pods opened, and then the next spring I went to plant them. So that's a lot easier for me, but they're pretty easy.
Yeah, Brandon, don't you have a lot of experience with that plant as well?
Yeah, so that's a really cool plant to grow. It just kind of like does its own thing. I love having durable plants. I get really disappointed when they sorry. I get really disappointed whenever they don't make it. And yeah, then I'm like, is this a character flaw? Did you not like me? No, I'm playing. But I like to have, my favorite types of plants to have are more visually appealing. So definitely things that have lots of flowers, lots of scents, things that you just want to look at and just make you feel good. So Datura is one of them. I actually got mine because I noticed it growing outside of a like leather daddy like gay sex store, and awesome. I was just like, holy shit, that's Datura. So I went and like grabbed some paper that was just on the ground in the parking lot because I was scared to like touch it and have my hands all over it. So I used that to kind of knock one of the apples off and then took it with me in my pocket. So that's how I got that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so then whenever I opened up the apple, I just threw a bunch of it in the pots that I had, and it just keeps springing up. Wow. And somehow it's made its way into like my giant bag of potting soil. So every time I plant something new, they just pop up all over the place. So I really can't get rid of it, but I'm not mad that it's not going anywhere.
Right. It's kind of like it's like a thing. Like, that's
really,
it's like,
though,
it's like telling you something.
It's like, I'm going to follow you everywhere.
Like, until you go through this bag, I am yours.
Or you're mine. Yeah, but I love having it. I love the scent, and they're just like visually appealing too, because you walk out at night and then all of a sudden all these flowers are open and it has like this minty like aroma to it, and so it's really pleasant. But I love those. I love having roses. Roses are one of my favorite. I actually have a plant that was given to me from my dad that was given to him from his grandmother. So it's just a cutting. The rose bush itself is probably 75-ish years old.
Wow.
So that's really interesting to have. It's like an heirloom. And then I have a giant prickly pear, because the prickly pear flowers are one of my favorite things too.
Oh, they are beautiful.
Prickly pear is delicious.
And delicious. Okay. I haven't gotten fruit from it yet, but delicious. But yeah, I have a lot of plants that are more just for aesthetic or visual purposes rather than functionality, but I enjoy it.
Oh, also, I do have one fruiting tree, which is my dwarf pomegranate. It took like 2 or 3 years for it to fruit. The first year, it didn't really do anything. The second year, I got blossoms, and they didn't do anything. And then this last year, I had giant-ass pomegranate. It was interesting. They're, like, really pink on the inside. There's pictures on the Hex Insta. But they were, like, delicious, and I had, like, 5 of them. There were a couple that, like, didn't really get to maturity or had cracks in them and started to rot or whatever. But, like, yeah, it was, like, super magical because, one, pomegranates are delicious. And then, two, you know, the whole myth of Persephone. So, and I think what helped me with not getting so caught up in having fruit to consume was just treating the entire plant as, like, a symbolic item. So I've used the branches and leaves in arrangements. You know, I've used the blossoms. Obviously, I've used the fruits now. But treating the whole entire plant as a symbolic, and like, you know, like using the branches as a wand, or like using them to like dip in water and asperge people for rituals. So I think that helped a lot too, to kind of ease my obsession with it having fruit or not.
Yeah, that seems like a good way to kind of combat that, just making everything useful. And that really seems like a good way to get into like the spiritual practice of being around plants, and especially this time of year too. And I like how you talked about the Tura seeds doing well outside rather than the ones that you kept for the season. I think that's really neat, and I've noticed that too. The ones that just kind of get weathered and get rid of the outer layer so the water can penetrate into them really grow better. Yeah, so the Datura seeds having this coating that need to be worn down in order to grow. And then if you think of that kind of like a meditative practice as far as like being through winter and realizing the things that need to go, and then moving into spring, releasing them and getting rid of that casing in order to grow.
Yeah, and I think the unpredictability, but also paradoxically the reliability of Datura, like it comes back very vigorously, but also like when you try to plant it's very, it tells you a lot about the personality of the plant if you work with it as like a spiritual entity, because I find it to be very, not petulant, that sounds kind of condescending, but it's very flippant. Like it's not interested in where you want to plant it, or you know, it kind of just does what it wants, and it's very weedy. You know, it's a beautiful ornamental flower, but it behaves very weedy. And I think that like the process of not having the seeds that you've carefully saved and laid out to dry and put away and labeled, that those don't come up, but the ones that are just like out in nature that just fell like as an accident are the ones that come up very vigorously, I think is kind of tells you a lot about the personality of Datura specifically.
And even just the shapes of them, because they all grow kind of different too, and some will end up being more bulbous and some are not, and then the roots all grow differently. It's really just I'm gonna do what I want type of plant.
Yeah, Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, would you say it's pretty hardy, like once it gets going?
It's determined, yes.
Yeah. I mean, in the heat of Texas, they usually need some extra, they need to be watered probably every day or they'll get a little floppy. But they'll basically drink as much water as you want to give them if you just fill them up. So they, unlike other plants that I like to grow, like lavender or orchids, Datura will soak up all the water that you give them. They will not get cranky from getting waterlogged. And they love rainwater, especially like Texas thunderstorm rainwater. Because we had a big storm with like just a ton of water got dumped down. And like the next day, all my Daturas were up, like the little... They're really cute. They come up with these like two little pilot leaves before the proper stalk starts growing and the actual leaves come up. And yeah, so they were like all out and about.
I think I might try. I have never tried. But I'm sure if you can grow them there, I can probably grow them here.
Really, though, just frequent your gay leather bars and you might find some growing.
Right? I mean, not opposed, not opposed. What else do you guys have right now? So I'll tell you what's in my vegetable garden. So I was just doing tomatoes and zucchini, and but now I have branched out into some strawberries, baby carrots, and three or four different types of peppers. We'll see, because I wasn't very successful with just a green pepper. Actually, the label said yellow pepper. It has given me exactly three green peppers that only get like about as big as, like, not even as big as half of my hand. It's a very small little pepper. I'm glad that it gave me anything, I guess. But wow, why is it so funny?
The label specifically said yellow peppers,
it was,
but this pepper wanted to give me green pepper.
It says a lot about the character of the plant.
Maybe this is my ignorance, and please correct me, but I thought that yellow peppers were the same. Green peppers are just young yellow peppers, and yellow peppers are just older green peppers.
I don't know.
That as they mature, it changes color.
I don't know, but you know what? Somebody out there knows this. I mean, I left that green pepper on the vine for, like, it was on there for 2 months. And nothing
happened.
Like
a bell pepper?
Yeah, like a bell pepper. It just stayed a bell pepper for forever. I still have it. It's not, I picked it, finally. I picked it, and it is still green, and it is... But I know what you mean. Like, I've seen peppers, and they'll change color, like, once you bring them home or whatever. I don't know. It's probably easily Googleable. Googleable. It's Googleable. That's what I'm saying. It's Googleable if they're all the same. But, I mean, then why would they put different labels on them?
Why would you label anything, though? Just be what you want to be. Be the color pepper that you feel is most appropriate for
you. Don't pigeonhole these peppers, is what you're trying to say.
Fun fact, Datura seeds, because they're all nightshades, look really similar to pepper and tomato seeds.
Ooh.
So actually maybe labeling them is a good idea. You probably wouldn't want to mix them up.
I'm trying snap peas for the first time. What else is new? That's it. Everything else is herbs. I have some lettuce that I don't really know. Like, I'm worried about lettuce because I don't really have that big of a spot. And I feel like if I just start planting lettuce in between shit, that it's just going to take over. I have no idea what happens with lettuce. So, fun experiment, maybe? I don't know.
I had a labeling mishap. I was supposed to get a black lily. I mean, not black, but like super, super dark purple. And it came up and it was just like fuchsia. I was very angry, but then also I had like a bunch of beautiful fuchsia lilies and they smelled great. So I wasn't super mad, but
I like everybody's like goth garden pictures and shit, but it's like, oh, that's going to take a lot of, I don't know, planning on my part. So I don't know if I'm like there yet, really. I'm just kind of like into just buying random shit that I like. Oh, shit. Have you seen an actual fuchsia plant?
No, I don't think so.
You gotta look that shit up. Look it up. Because it is the most beautiful flower I have ever seen. And I am gonna get one because they have them at the Lowe's. They are beautiful. It's like this gorgeous... like pink. What is the outside, pink or purple? Like the outside's purple and then the inside, thank you. The inside is this like hot, it's hot pink. It's beautiful. It looks like a fancy orchid almost. I don't know. Yeah. It's gorgeous. What do you guys think of the fuchsia plant? And should I buy one? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely buy one.
Yeah, do it.
We'll buy one and I will name it
fuchsia.
We'll name it fuchsia. That's original. I also have, like, so I wrote a piece about this. I have a tree that I'm intentionally killing, but not really. It won't die. It's a really unattractive tree, and I can't believe, you know how deeply I feel about trees. But this tree puts out really unattractive leaves, and then the spiders come. Your favorite part, Scarlett.
No.
Then the spiders come and make their home inside this tree. And when I'm telling you spiders come and make their home in this tree, it's a lot of spiders.
No.
So, not my fave. I honestly, and I think I've said this even on the podcast before, there are more spiders in California than you can possibly imagine. It's like more than Texas. And Texas was a lot of spiders. So I could like knock down cobwebs every single day of my life. Not inside my house, thank God, but like outside. I could just knock down cobwebs all the time. But so anyway, this tree, I didn't like it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to chop off all the spider branches and see, like, but of course it like immediately starts growing back again. It's like, nope, I like it too much. I want to live. Fuck you. So I decided, well, what if I buy bottles, turn them upside down, and kind of cap the main parts that are growing that I don't like, cap those, use it for my, like, witch bottle tree, and still, like, little sprouts come up all the time that I have to actively, like, pull off. So me and this tree, like, kind of have an understanding where it knows that I'm just going to keep trying to thwart it. And I know there's stuff you can buy to put on the branches to kind of thwart the growth, but it's kind of like now it's a process. So I've made this like part of my practice in, you know, quote unquote trimming this tree. It's not really trimming. It's basically just pulling the new shoots of growth off. But it's part of my like daily ritual, I guess, is to go out there, check for new growth and pull it off. So I don't know. That was just an interesting pandemic time observation that I made. It was like, oh, I'm like intentionally having this weird symbiotic relationship with this tree that refuses to die. So.
No, that's great. Like, and I love the routine of gardening, especially because, like I said, I get the ones that are very durable. I get the ones that they won't get a soggy bottom and just like pass away. So they're ones that you have to water daily or you have to keep on the routine of it. And right. So as I'm doing this, like I've got statues that are in my pots. I've got crystals that I've buried in there. I've got different like ritual items that I've buried in to sit with the roots or to at least like sit deep enough where they're like with that middle part of the plant where like the aerial and the underground parts kind of meet. And that's where I make my offering. So I'll offer like incense or my coffee grounds or just whatever to the plants that they can handle that would support their growth. So just part of that, like waking up and having my coffee, which comes from a plant, and then giving back to them. And even like the energetic like shedding, I guess, whenever you offer to the plants to support their growth as well. So it's just kind of like this routine, that really just keeps things together for me.
I love that. Yeah, I do have things besides trying to kill a tree that I have to do every day. Like, you know, it's kind of California or where we are in San Diego. It is, you know, almost a desert. Like if you go 5 miles inland, it's pretty deserty. So it's very, you know, there's some ocean mist action at night, but like, it gets warm and dry in the spring and summer, so I do have to water quite a bit. So, yeah, waking up, having some coffee, you know, eventually at some point in my morning, going out there, seeing what needs watered. I also have a ton of succulents right now, because I mean, you can literally just put them in like just a thimble full of dirt and they'll just take off. It's crazy. So yeah, just having that routine. I really like, I like that idea of planting things with your plants to make offerings. I think that's amazing, and I'm gonna steal it. So I really like that. I have a little outside kind. I mean, I don't know if you want to call it an altar, but it's a little. I have a giant bird of paradise that probably stands about. I mean, with the pot, it's, I don't know, it's over the roof of the garage, so I don't know, 14 feet maybe. It's pretty tall, and I have a little dish in the pot that's in, that I make offerings in, and to. But yeah, I was adding stuff to the garden soil, and we have a lot of little critters that like to come and dig everything out. But almost like that's part of it too, right? Like even if I added something to that soil and a little critter decided to take it away and have fun with it, like that's just, I don't know, kind of respecting the other creatures that live here, and I don't know, maybe giving them a little present.
Yeah, I like that idea of not having an adversarial relationship or not having these expectations of how things are supposed to grow or whatever, and that when things go awry, like something's dying or there's a plant that you don't want, or you know, you planted stuff and critters come and dig it up, this idea of like that it's all part of the process, as opposed to like this isn't going right, I'm doing it wrong, or these things won't cooperate.
Well, but like said, for me, it's kind of like that is a point of privilege, right? That I can say, oh, it's fine if the critter like takes, you know, the plant or the food or whatever, because I'm not depending on that plant for survival. But
yeah,
but if I, you know, it, I think it has worked better, and they have kind of stayed, they haven't eaten the fruit if I just let them go ahead and, I mean, all they're doing is like digging for roots or bugs or something. If I just let them go ahead and do that, and so if they knock a plant down, that's fine, I can probably save it. But instead of like, I haven't constantly been focused on, well, something's eating something, it hasn't happened. So I may be lucky, or maybe they just don't want what I got, it's fine. But I'm happy to let them just tromp through the garden. Every morning I walk out and there's like just giant like holes and shit. I'm like, well, everything's still standing, so they must just want what's in the soil.
One of the other things that I've been trying to research, because like I said, I get really stressed out about trying to grow things and what if they don't take or what if they don't grow or whatever, is looking for like weeds and like native plants. So like when I'm out on walks, like I love finding, there's a bunch of wild nightshades that are not quite as ornamental as Datura, for example, but like buffalo burr and horse nettle or horse apple that all kind of grow wild. So I love like taking clippings of those, or getting, you know, dried flowers or dried fruits from them and putting them on my altar and sort of meditating on the personality of those. And then also I went and got a bunch of stuff out of my yard like a week ago, and spent a good like hour and a half Googling trying to identify them, to be like, what are these weeds? What can I do with them? What are they good for? You know, obviously dandelions are great. Like you can do I've got a whole folder of like dandelion recipes with the roots, the leaves, the flowers. Same thing with like henbit, which is a weed here. I found out that I have a small like forget-me-nots that are coming up. So trying to put in, like, I have a pecan tree and mulberry trees that were just here, and I learned a bunch of weird stuff. Like for mulberries, for example, like they're basically the same family and similar flavor to like a blackberry or something. But the reason why they're not as popular is because they grow on trees, and so they're, like, commercially a pain in the ass to harvest, because they're not in, like, a little bush that you can, like, plant rows and rows and rows of, and people can harvest them. So I think shit like that's super interesting,
as to like what plants become like commercially popular because they're easy to mass produce or mass harvest. So like,
have you made anything with mulberry?
I haven't yet because I haven't really. Every year I'm like trying to get a feel for when the berries come because they'll fall. Like I can go like gather them.
Yeah.
Or I could try to like get up in there and pick them. The ones that I've gathered are like not super flavorful, so they don't taste bad. They're just kind of bland. So I need to figure out more about like when the proper season or when to know that they're ripe. Because the other thing about mulberry that I learned is that there's a myth that it will never put on leaves before the last frost. It's like supposed to have this like wild intuition to know when the very last frost is, and it will never put on leaves before that. So, for example, like this last year when we had ice apocalypse in Texas, it hasn't put on all of its leaves yet. It just started. So the season tends to fluctuate based on when the very last freeze was. So, which can be like wildly different in Texas. Like we can have a good stretch of like 75 degree weather, and then one weekend it'll be crazy and cold. But also the thing about native plants is a lot of them, since we're in North America, don't have the same amount of lore that native Northern European. I mean, they do have lore, but it's, you know, native lore. It's not the typical stuff you would find in Northern European witchcraft books. So right. Trying to research the uses of those things. But I like to do the nerdy stuff.
I mean, I am all for herbs that grow in your own backyard or plants that grow around you because you guys are all experiencing like the same factors. So using those types of herbs and working with them, like you both have your roots down in the same areas, it's all the same nutrition. And so doing that as a spiritual practice to me has always felt stronger than working with things that aren't within like your own area. Not to say that there's not uses for other things, but to me that just feels like an easier connection or an easier vibe. Which, speaking of plants that are seen as invasive or weeds in Texas, passion flower is one of like my downright favorite flowers. And I had this giant passion flower bush and I loved it, and then I switched apartments and I guess the birds at the new apartment love it too. So they took every opportunity that they could to take the leaves and the stems. I don't know if they just made nests out of it because it kind of like has tendrils and wraps around, or what they did with my passion. But they ate the crap out of it to where it was like one tiny little leaf. And that's when I decided to move to roses, because I was like, at least nothing that can get onto my patio will be able to take these away from me.
Like, I am not in symbiotic pleasure with you, birds. Do not.
No, because they pillaged. They did not dig tiny little holes or, you know, leave cute little footprints or whatever. They swooped in, it was coordinated, and they took everything.
it was an attack. It was personal. Really, really.
But
like
I love
plant.
Passion flower. Like, it's so visually stunning, and then the vines are cool, and it like creates a cool coverage, and then the fruit is delicious, and it's like affiliation with the nervous system and like making things calm and with dreams and all of the cool stuff associated with it. And it was stolen from you.
No, maybe the birds don't think you need that anymore.
Oh, I need it. Tell my anxiety. No.
I was going to say. Birds are wrong. The birds are fucking wrong.
They're malicious.
Maybe they need that for themselves. It's almost like a struggle. Who needs it more? Brandon or us? I have tried to introduce... me. Hands down, me. I have tried to introduce my crow friends to my backyard, but they don't seem to take an interest. Like, they'll sit on the foam pole that's directly like, you know, near our yard, and they'll, you know, they'll do their talking, but they won't come down. And I have even created a series of shiny objects for them Because I mean, if my garden gets destroyed, but I get a crow friend, like, come on, what's more important there? Clearly the crow friend, but so far they're still in front yard mode. They'll come down about 4 o'clock every day, hang out in the front yard, wait for me to come out and maybe toss them some peanuts, and then they'll leave. And there's like three of them that come. So that's been kind of a recurring that I had. There were three crows in Texas too that would come visit, and I wasn't feeding them, and I'm not really feeding these either. I mean, sometimes, but not often. So I'm pretty sure if I started to like get them more peanuts, they'd be my friend. That has like nothing to do with gardening, but kind of like.
I mean, it does. Well, the birds come and they leave. Droppings and offerings to the earth
and
make plants, and they eat your shit. They eat your passion flower, and they're no good nobodies. That's what they are.
You know what I learned how to do this last year, which I'm sure will fascinate everyone. So, I had two zucchini plants, and you know, I had another friend that was also trying to grow zucchini, and she said, you know, nothing's happening. They grow this weird little one, like sad zucchini. And it gets really yellow at the end and dies. So I was like, aha, I'm going to read and see what I can do to prevent from making my zucchinis just, you know, get really small and die. You have to make flowers have sex with each other. I'm telling you now, that's what you have to do. Get ready for this exciting journey in flower time. So the plant will have a male and a female flower. Right now, all of my flowers are female, which I'm still getting zucchini, so I think bees are happening. But basically, if you don't have enough like things trying to pollinate your flower, you got to do it yourself. So you take a male flower and stick it into the female flower, and you get a zucchini. I did not know that was a thing that I needed to be doing to grow vegetables. I just figured like pollination was a process that I did not necessarily have to be involved in. I am wrong, and I will, I now understand, sort of. I don't really understand all of it, clearly, because I couldn't make the tomato plant do anything. Shaking it, apparently, does not equal flower sex, but I think it needs more. It needs more than just shaking, just like people. But that was a pretty exciting, what was that, like, fall journey for me, is every morning going out and making sure that my flowers were intimate with each other, and then
I love it.
And then zucchini.
The most important part of spring is flower sex.
That's right. Except it was in fall, to be fair. But I mean, if I could get a male flower, I'm sure I would do it again right now. But I guess there must be like birds or bees or something that are happening. So.
Those damn birds.
I don't know. They're helping me. I don't know. It might be something that's happening with you. Just say.
No, one of my favorite things about this time of year, not only is just all like the abundant and verdant growth, but I always think about now, since it's been a year, since Pantheacon. Not anything in particular that anybody else did, because I still have mixed feelings about all the rituals that we went to.
Yeah.
But remember whenever we were in the room and we channeled and there was a deity that came through you, a spring deity, that talked about the first like couple of feet in the earth, and that's where all the magic happens with the decay turning into nutrients that like provide the growth.
Right.
So for me, death is also a very important part of this time of year. Or just at least getting rid of the decay to provide it for growth somewhere else. And I really like that symbolism.
Yeah, I do too. That's funny. I have not forgotten about that. And it felt so... Well, first of all, it was really freaky. But it also just felt so... this is going to be a weird word to use, but that deity felt so clean. You know what I mean? Like fresh and springy and just like, I don't know, like kind of blank slate-ish, if you know what I mean. Mm. And that's kind of how I look at spring, even though like it's a turning over, right? But it's I don't know, it originates somewhere deeper and then turns into this, you know, magical green everything. I don't know. I know that I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, you know, I know nature and the earth and us being on the earth and everything, like, it's all science, right? It's science. It's fine. But like, how magical is it that it's like this perfect climate created this perfect ecosystem to like everything working together? And I mean, we're doing all we can to like fuck that up, but like, if you can stop and take a minute to just like, if you do something like planting, even if it's just like one little, like say you just want one little plant, like there is beauty, so much beauty and magic in it, even behind the science. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that make fucking sense? It sounds dumb.
But no, I mean, it is super magical. Like, I love this. Like, to me, the science and the magic are
the same.
Like, I get so nerdy about learning. Like, I learned that my magnolia trees out front are pollinated by beetles and not by bees or flying insects, because magnolias evolved before there were flying insects, which just blows my mind.
Right.
And I think that, like, that's another interesting thing to work with if you work with plant spirits as opposed to kind of anthropomorphic deities or animal spirits or kind of more human or mammalian types of spirits, is that plant spirits are really interesting because they're stationary, and so their sense of time and their sense of movement and their sense of urgency is so different than a vertebrate animal's, you know, like it's the idea that they're not passive, that they communicate and they do move around within their, you know, radius, but they don't like get up out of the ground and move around. So working with those spirits is always really interesting to me, because the stuff that like you would normally want help with or that you're stressed out about, they're like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't, it's like a great reality check. And it's, they're great allies. Like, I would really, like, I would say that Datura is one of my plant familiars, but I really like to have a plant that is not an annual, that's like, that I could keep and have that specific plant be a familiar, not just sort of the abstract spirit of Datura in general or the abstract spirit of orchids in general, but like one specific potted plant that I could work with that's not just the general species, but that plant in particular. Because when I've meditated with specific plants, like, they do have like very interesting specific personalities that are partly informed by their species but also partly informed by them being individuals. And also just the idea of individuality is very different to plants, because like some of them can reproduce asexually, or, you know, like by grafting or from cuttings. You know, they also can be like connected through a root network. So, and then they've proven that plants can, they seem to not compete with their direct offspring. Mm. So if they're like, the whole idea of what, of consciousness that is not a vertebrate animal is just fascinating to me. So I highly recommend sitting with a plant and like kind of meditating and reaching out and trying to see what kind of vibes or impressions you can get. It's always really fun.
I love that. Like, I feel like I sit outside and do that, but there's a lot of plants out there, so they're all just like, you know, screaming at me. Not really screaming, but like they're all talking at the same time, or they're all communicating at the same time, but, or, you know, with each other, but I'm getting all of these messages. So yeah, maybe I would like to, I'm so, like, I've been always so hesitant about having plants and cats, because I have one cat that will literally, she will eat anything. So I kind of don't want to bring a plant inside, but maybe, you know, maybe if I can just like somehow isolate my plant outside and have commune with it. I would like to try that.
I mean, of course, there's like classic stuff like using a mandrake root or like preserving a part of the plant that's like no longer alive, which I started harvesting the deterra roots, and they're really interesting because Brandon mentioned earlier, like, they all look really different, and some of them have like really different textures. Like, some are like very woody, mm-hmm. and other ones are kind of like more smooth, like a carrot or those types of, or like root plants, and some of them like just go straight down with one really strong tap root, and other ones are like these like wild nests of like tiny little like veins. They definitely all have like a very distinct personality and vibe, and they look so different. And as magical items, the dried roots, like, they definitely have like what I would perceive to be different uses or different strengths or different personalities.
I would say with the roots, that's one of the reasons why I like to bury things, because the roots hold a different energy than like the aerial parts, and then each different plant that I kind of bury things with, it picks up that specific like energy imprint of the living thing that it's in. So that's been interesting with my workings. Like, I do keep obsidian with my datura roots, or I'll switch it to like my monstera plant, or I'll put it out with the roses, and just the energy after it sit out there for several weeks or months before I use it again in my workings, it's very noticeable.
Wow. I can't wait to try that, as a matter of fact. I have like this giant...
I can't believe I've never thought of that.
I know, me neither. I have this giant yellow rose bush that's out front, out of the window that I actually work from, and work is so stressful that I am totally gonna take some crystals and bury it outside with the rose bush and see if when I bring it back in and like keep it on my desk or something, if it doesn't help like be a little more calming. I don't know, that sounds really great. I want to try that.
Do it.
I will. It's great. This is so much fun. Oh, hey. And yeah, so we're just now watching the Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Because that's also pretty dumb, but yeah. This one's real dumb.
Well, we watched Skull Island last night, which I kind of like.
Skull Island's excellent. It's excellent. I was so impressed.
Yeah, I like that the first time around. The Godzilla one, like, so it started out strong, and then, like, good cast, right? And then, like, the fact that a child could steal this magical equipment to make all the monsters talk to each other. I mean, look, I know we're already suspending our disbelief, but like, let's have some reality about this. Come on.
Can I blow your mind? In King of the Monsters, Zhang Ziyi is playing two different people.
Oh, shit.
She's playing twins. And I had no idea until later when I was reading something about the movie. That's how bad the movie is.
I haven't even, like, noticed that.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. Yeah, because it's bad.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. So tomorrow is the big culmination of us watching Kong versus Zilla, and... I was excited, but I'm guessing I should probably tamp that shit down into the ground.
Millie Bobby Brown is in it way too... Humans are in it way too much. It goes really off the rails in terms of, like, bonkers, weird sci-fi stuff. But the monster fights are good. The monster fights are good.
Okay.
Especially the first one. They're pretty good. Yeah. But it is bonkers. It goes real crazy.
I'm pretty excited about tomorrow night, then. All right.
Yeah, you should cut all of this, because I wasn't even talking in the mic when we started talking, but...
I don't know. I think people need to know our hot opinions on
the public needs
movie.
To know.
This is strong kaiju opinion.
Oh, yes. What's the other... oh, man. You said kaiju, and it was like, what's that? What's the... other movie series with the robots and the monsters?
Pacific Rim.
Yes, that's it. Thank you very much. Pacific Rim. Oh, thank God.
I haven't seen the other ones, but the first one's fucking great because the Honest Movie trailers, you know, on YouTube, they were like,
This is either the stupidest awesome movie or the awesomest stupid movie
for sure
ever. And I'm like, oh my god, it is, because it's just like robots punching monsters. That's exactly what I wanted to see, and that's what I got.
I don't really understand how it could go wrong. I mean, I will say I have noticed in a lot of these giant CGI monster / robot action movies, everything's very dark when it comes to monster battles. That's the only thing. Like, they're usually in a storm or in, like, you know, a fire and lightning, you know, kind of dark, smoky time situation. I mean, it makes it sound romantic, but it's not. It's monsters fighting monsters, but, like, very, very
dark. Totally kept yelling at Kong and Godzilla to make out, so.
Ooh, I like it. I mean, I don't know why they couldn't.
It's 2021. Do what you want.
I was going to say, love is love, man. I mean, I didn't know Godzilla.
Also...
Oh, go ahead. No, go.
Yeah, go. What about Godzilla?
I didn't know that you're gonna make fun of me. I didn't know that's okay. What have you not been doing? What? I didn't know Godzilla is good. I didn't know this.
I mean, he's neutral. He's all about restoring the balance. So sometimes that's laying the smackdown on humans, or sometimes it's, you know, defeating other monsters.
Right.
And then he's good. But he's all about
the balance,
the folly of man.
So,
like Blue Oyster Cult said, you know, nature will show again and again how nature points out the folly of man. Go, go, Godzilla!
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I will say, the Mothra situation is pretty impressive in this movie that I'm watching right now.
Oh, I love Mothra. Mothra is a feminist icon.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Mothra's so always, like, been good. Mothra is good.
Amazingly, we still have like an hour left of this movie, and I feel like I've been watching it all afternoon. So, like, now granted, there were some like dough breaks in between, but still, it's just like I think it's like 2 hours and change. I'm just like, what is next? My husband was like, yeah, well, we got to have the monster battle. And, you know, they just woke this guy up and, you know, all right.
It's not that the 2014 Godzilla is excellent. Skull Island is excellent. King of the Monsters is kind of silly. Some of the fights are not great. I thought the fight with Rodan was better than the fight with Ghidorah, honestly.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla versus Kong is way too much people, but the monster fights are good.
Okay, well, I will.
And there's a daylight battle. There's a daylight battle, so
okay,
get ready.
I'm excited. I can't wait. I can't wait. Clearly, we're keeping all this in because this is very important information. It has nothing to do with plants. I mean, kind of restoring the balance. That's what these titans are all about, from what I hear.
Yeah.
So
I need a Godzilla to fight those birds that love my passion flower.
Fuck,
that's
yes,
what I
you do.
Moral of the story.
Or a Mothra.
Keep the balance.
Oh, something I noticed just yesterday, as I like to sit on my tiny trampoline and eat my lunch by my garden, the monarchs are here. So I am very excited, because to me, like, that is definite. That's a definite, like, quote unquote season here is butterfly season, because they kind of come through and they'll stay like pretty much through the summer, and then no butterflies for all of what other people would call like the winter months. But yeah, so it was exciting to see my first monarch yesterday. So that means the giant swallowtail should be back and making little babies on my lime tree. They really love that lime tree. But they never, I didn't get to see. So one, we had some really amazing caterpillars, like turning, you know, about to turn into chrysalis. And they just kind of like fuck off when they're ready to turn into their chrysalis. They like are on the leaf, they love the leaf, they hang out with the leaf, they eat all the fucking leaves, And then the next thing you know, it's like crawling up the washer, always to be gone forever. I was really sad because I was like, oh man, this is going to be my first, you know, caterpillar to butterfly experience. I've never seen them in a cocoon up close. This is going to be great. It went away. It was very sad.
You missed it? Like, I don't understand.
No, the caterpillar, like, I read so much about caterpillars. It basically, like, gets to a certain size, and, like, you know it's almost time, like, with the colors and how big it is, whatever. And it just, like, a lot of times it'll make its home on the leaf that it's been living on forever. But then a lot of times they will just, like, fuck off somewhere and go somewhere else to do their changing. And that is what happened. I think since that is a dwarf lime tree, it's not a very big tree. And I think they want to get somewhere higher, I think, because it's kind of like as tall as I am, maybe a little taller. So, no, it's just like I had two that were like almost ready to do their cool shit. And they disappeared, or possibly birds. So fucking Godzilla. Full circle. Anyway,
I love it. That's so cool. Yeah, part of my childhood was always watching like the caterpillars. They weren't monarchs. I don't know what kind of butterflies they were, but I remember just being in awe of like going outside and seeing their little pods just everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was exciting to see, and then have them one day, they're just butterflies everywhere. Really cool.
That's, yeah, I want that really bad, Brandon. I'm glad you got to experience that.
I got it year after year.
Just years of butterfly time. Ha ha. Suck it.
Yeah. That's cool. And then like the other cool part about like plants as food is like the spiritual practice of cooking with them.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Eating.
Oh, we love eating.
We love cooking. I mean, I really think we could do a whole episode on nothing but that, because there's so many. That's the thing for me, is like why I'm even trying to branch out into other vegetables or whatever. When I tell you, these tomatoes are like the best tomatoes, and I'm not doing anything special. There's like some fertilizer that I use, and it's just like I didn't like make it myself or anything. It's just in a bag. But these are the best tomatoes I have ever eaten. And like, that's a bold statement, because I've grown tomatoes for a long ass time. And just, these are very, just like, oh, they're just so red and delicious. They're, I don't know. They're great. So I don't know. Like, I feel like
that's the title of my autobiography.
Red and delicious. Yeah. I mean, they're just so, I don't know. I feel like that's part of the magic too, is like the fact that I am like into it and loving it. Like, I've grown tomatoes before where I'm just kind of like, tomatoes, all right. But like the fact that I've made it part of my practice, just like, I feel like it shows.
Well, just like anything, when you experience it, like as a meditation, instead of just something you're doing on autopilot, like when you really savor food,
yep.
Where like you go through the various steps to make it, and there's that building anticipation, or there's like some kind of deeper understanding about it, or like seeing something change color as you're cooking it, or change, you know, like anytime you're adding these extra moments of observation or interaction, like it's gonna be more fulfilling. Or like, you know, in experiencing plants with a different sense, like your sense of taste and your sense of smell. I mean, that those are really primal senses. So interacting with plants in that way is going to really enhance your perception of them in general, because now you're experiencing it with like a different part of your body. Your
right.
Tummy.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on the, who knows what color peppers, and it doesn't matter. Let them be too. Let them be whatever they want. But I'm super excited about baby carrots and snap peas. I'm really excited. Oh, and did I tell you strawberries too?
Yes, strawberries. You did.
But I had to net those, because the birds will they'll just fucking take the strawberry. They'll like pick it out perfectly and just take the strawberry. assholes. I mean, I love them. And I want them to come to my garden, but also I want strawberries for myself.
Boundaries. Healthy boundaries.
I have to. Well, this has been a pleasure.
It's so good to have you on the hear your lovely voice.
It's good to be here. It's good to be with Brandon. Oh, wait. Were you talking to Brandon?
No, I was talking to you. But
I stole your compliment.
I was going to say, thank you. No, it is great to see you guys and kind of be back. I have missed it, and I've been doing shit over here, so that's cool. We can talk about all the things I've been doing on all the many podcasts that we will have in the future. It's lovely to see you both and to talk to you, because other people cannot see you, nor can they see me.
No, it's not a visual medium.
It's okay. Oh, it's visual for me, and that's all that matters. All right. Well, I know. Mahalo. Whatever. I'm not Hawaiian.
What?
People
wow.
Really say
where are they?
People say
SoCal
that a
thing?
Lot here. Yes, it's weird. I don't like it. I mean,
that's
maybe
like a
they're...
surfer thing, though.
Yeah.
It's like a surfer thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it felt. I don't
they
know.
They use
where...
a lot of like Hawaiian lingo.
Yes, I don't know why I said it though, because I am neither a surfer nor really from Southern California. But hey, mahalo, everyone. Do we have anything on the events that we need to discuss or?
Nope.
No news. Newsletter as always on the 13th. And
yeah.
Oh,
which you
where
can sign
I will
up
be.
For?
Yeah, you can sign up for it, and I'll be reviewing some special gifties that Miss Scarlett sent to me.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. It's lots of scents. S-C-E-N-T-S. Not. But it will also make S-E-N-S-E. How do you like that?
I see what you did there.
Showing off my spelling skills, you know, my third grade spelling skills. I got some.
You can check us out on Insta at Hex Rated Witches. Our website is hexratedpodcast.com, and you can email us at hexratedpodcast@gmail.com. Send us pictures or send us thoughts about plants or things you want to know more about. This was kind of more of just a general mishmash, but I mean, I think we could have probably talked an entire episode about any one of these plants, so which
maybe we will. In depth with plants. Thanks everybody for joining us. What did you say? Mahalo.
Flower sex.
Oh, flower sex. Yeah, I know. It was good times. It's very hot.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye. Oh, wait.
Focus, bitches. Yeah.
Focus. Should we? You want to do it?
Or? 1, 2, 3. Hocus
pocus, bitches.
All right.
All right.